Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub. The Pats are back on the field. It's training camp with Zolak and Bertrand. Sponsored by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's a high fly ball left field deep. Way, way back. It is gone. How do you like this comeback? Pierce with his second of the ball game. Totally out of Fenway.
All right. Zolak and Bertrand, another day from training camp. Day number eight. Eight for the Patriots. Eight days so far of this camp. We're here once again. Live, bringing you coverage of training camp this hour. Also sponsored by our friends at Northern Bank. Our thanks to Northern Bank for their support of this training camp coverage. Every day we're here, so they practice, we show up.
That's right,
keep
bud.
Doing it.
Our station's here.
Only place you're going to get that coverage.
Only kind of coverage
right
you'll get
here.
Locally.
All right, and you just heard the clip from last night's Red Sox game. Mm-hmm. Red Sox-Yankees.
Did you and I say that Pierce guy the other day when we went through pickups was a pretty good pickup?
Yeah, we liked him.
Time.
We liked
yeah.
all the pickups.
Said, yeah, good
we don't,
pickup.
We don't dislike any
good
of the pickups.
Pickup.
Like Pierce, how about the new guy in Kinsla? A little web gem there in the seventh last night. Was hitting the ball well last night. Dave Dombrowski had himself a good night. You know what my biggest thought about that game is last night overall? First of all, early on I'm thinking, oh, God, you go down 4-0 quick.
I thought they were dead in the water.
You were celebrating it.
I thought they were dead in the water.
I was hoping for cancel the games.
Like,
too much rain.
Now.
Cancel
don't
it.
Worry
we'll
about
start
August.
It over.
Don't even worry about August.
I look at last night's game. And my big picture thought on that game is that the Red Sox would love for the playoffs to go the way last night's game went. They are just as happy winning 15-7 as they would be, you know, winning 3-1 or 3-2.
I think they're happier.
This is the way they want it.
They'd be happier.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Happier.
Let's sit there and bite your nails over a 2-1 game. You want to hit that one, and that type of comeback thing was over in the fourth.
Where the bullpen doesn't even matter. You get Joe Kelly in the eighth inning protecting an 8-run lead last
night.
Who
cares?
You bash the crap out of the ball. You hit home runs. You get a performance from Pierce. He hits 3 of them last night. Had himself a night.
Pierce.
But 15 runs. That's what they want. This is exactly how they want playoff games. Meaningful games against good teams. And that's what last night is. You put Brian Johnson on the mound. You get 5 innings out of him. He really wasn't all that good despite the 11 strikeouts.
No, he's terrible.
And this is it. 15-7, you hit home runs, you score a million times, and you win the game. They would love for the playoffs to play out the way that last night's game did. That's what they want. Doesn't matter who you started. Doesn't matter who's in your bullpen. And I think they're banking on there being games like last night when they get to October. This is why I think we can actually learn something from this series, though.
Yeah, this is it's nicer than it not being, you know, Betts or Martinez, that it's somebody else. A guy like Pierce on a random night. Not a random night. Random nights playing the Orioles down in Baltimore. That's a random freaking night. This was the beginning of putting this team in your rearview mirror and putting the clamps on it. That's how big this one was.
I get your
last
point,
night.
Though. It's not maybe a random night, but
it's a random night.
It's a random player to get
freaking
the huge
Pierce
night
pops
out of, isn't it?
Yankees, he gets 3 big ones. I'm like, that's it, man. Division over. That's it. Yankees had to have it. It's the jam.
They don't have to have it.
Yankees had to have last night's game.
I don't think they did.
I told you that
yesterday.
Yeah. Pitching advantage moving forward, I think, favors the Red Sox now. I would say that you had the big advantage last night. Sabathia
that
over
I'd agree
Johnson.
With. You know, we never went that way.
Sabathia versus Johnson. You had the advantage. Okay, you take game one. Now it swings back to you. What is it, Porcello? It's Porcello next, right? I think so, yeah. Porcello. Price is pitching in the Sunday night game. So you find a way to get Pretty Ricky a win and scrap out that third. And then It's up to David Price to put the nail in the coffin. Wouldn't that be something?
So that's sort of my theory. They love the Red Sox. Probably love last night's game. And when I say the Red Sox, I mean Dave Dombrowski, ownership, the people that have put the team together. They would love for the playoffs to look like last night's game. How long was that game? How long did we watch that game last night? Long game, lot of runs, slow to, and they win, and they come out on the right side of it. And the late innings don't even matter. Joe Kelly, eighth inning, who cares?
Yeah, he didn't care.
Who cares who's in the eighth inning?
Turn that game off.
Who cares in the set? If it's not a high leverage situation, who cares? And I think that'd be perfect for them.
And Maz was right.
It would benefit them if the playoffs went the way last night's game went.
Maz was right, and he called it right out of the gate. They were up 4-0. Maz goes, this thing's not over. I got a feeling this thing's going to be a slugfest. I'm like, what, are you crazy? I thought they were dead in the water.
It didn't happen.
Didn't matter.
All right, so that's the Red Sox from last night. Your thoughts on that? It's one game, but it was a good one for the Red Sox and a good one for Pierce. Had himself a night. There's that, and then there's this story today. Roger Goodell reportedly offered Tom Brady a deal during Deflategate. This I read from 98.5thesportshub.com. Remember, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Take us wherever you go. Here's what it says. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell allegedly offered New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady a way out of his four-game suspension during Deflategate, according to a new book. The book is 12, The Inside Story of Tom Brady's Fight for Redemption. Casey Sherman and Dave Wedge, a couple of investigative reporters who got together and did this book. Here was the deal, according to this book. Brady would not serve any sort of suspension and instead would pay a $1 million fine. That part of the deal was an obviously acceptable condition for Brady, but it turned to a hard no for the Patriot quarterback when Goodell said that Brady would also have to publicly blame the team's equipment staff for the deflated footballs, those equipment staffers being J.J., John Jastrzemski, and Jim McNally.
Oh, the ones that still work here.
Dorito Dink and J.J.
Yeah.
Are they still working here?
No.
So why'd you say that?
Then why would you have to blame them? They got popped regardless. Well, why do you got to hang it on them? Because he wants you to admit the guilt. He wants you to sign, I am guilty. This is who did it. We cheated. We're putting it on paper. And, oh, by the way, here's $1 million. Do you believe this? Do you believe Goodell sat there with him and said,
okay, if you're asking me if I find the deal,
I kind of have to suspend you, but I don't want to. But the only way I could get you out there in the field is, and Goodell comes up with, tag those two guys, put their names on it, and pay $1 million, and you're free to go, Tommy boy?
Do I find it believable? I don't know if it's true
believable.
Or not. I don't know if it's true.
Do you find it believable?
Yes.
Wow.
And I'll explain to you why.
Why?
I think there's a missing element of this deal. What was the team going to get under that deal? What was going to happen to the team?
They were getting Brady.
What do you mean?
He wasn't going to serve the suspension.
No, what was the punishment for the team?
Oh.
Probably. If that deal was accepted by Brady, what's part two? You're not, and maybe it's in the book. I don't know. I don't have the book. I haven't read the book. It's not even out yet, I don't believe.
Maybe it reflects on Belichick, too, that you're harboring a player that cheats.
Well,
I don't know.
This is part two. If that was the deal for Brady, that would reflect a desire in the league that they didn't want to go after Brady. Brady was not their target. The Patriots were their target, not Tom Brady. Tom Brady did do it, they didn't want to take their star player off the field for four games.
And I always said this, too. There are two guys that built this league, two pillars, during our football time watching it. Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Whether or not you like to admit it, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady built this league for the last 20 years.
So I just think.
Do you really mean to tell me that this commissioner thinks it's good for his product to look at squeaky clean Tom Brady, the image, everything, and say, we're going to punish you the way we punish other players?
Well, this would say that he didn't want to do it.
And
that's what you've always said.
Okay.
So here's why I think it could be believable. They're leaving out a part of it, or they weren't able to obtain what the other part of that deal would be. And not that it was offered to Brady or laid out to Brady. But the league might have thought, all right, we'll let Brady blame these two staffers who are losing their jobs anyway, and they're getting rid of those guys, and they're never to be heard from again.
Yeah, they're already whacked.
But he can put it on those guys as being the ones who did it. We'll let Brady off. He'll pay a fine. He'll get out of it. He won't miss any time. And then what are we going to do to the team when Brady puts it on the two staffers who were employed by the New England Patriots? That seems to be some sort of system within their organization where they have employees working for that organization that were a part of this and did this, and their star quarterback even says they did it. All of a sudden, they have a star witness in Tom Brady saying those two guys did it. And then what would they have done to turn around and go after the team? What was part two? That's why it's believable.
See, anything in the Wells report, too, and everything about it was pointed to those two guys. Never once did I think Brady put a pin in the thing or ordered the command to do it. You always thought it was those two. It's the way it was handled. The texting back and forth, the calling. Hey, I see you at the game in Green Bay. Remember? You got the big jacket on there. You got the pin in there? The deflator? Remember he called him the deflator?
Right.
Oh, that's right. That guy wanted to lose weight. That's why.
The rest of the league wanting to, you know, the Indianapolis Colts, the Baltimore Ravens, whoever's involved, their target was never Tom Brady. Mm. Their target was the New England Patriots, was the organization. And then when they couldn't really piece it together the way they wanted to, they started offering crazy things like this. Tom, pin it on these two guys for us. Hey, Tom, do this for us and we'll let you off. Can you pin it on those two guys that work for the team? Because if you do that, you'll take care of us and we'll take care of you. Because then we're going to turn around and hit the team so hard.
Well, he's deflate bait.
Right? Isn't that how that would have gone?
Out now too, right? Brady watched it with the NFLPA when Robert Kraft touched down and gave his speech and how angry he was after that. A lot of stuff about Deflategate now coming out. It's weird. Why? Why now?
I don't know. I mean, it's wrote a book and the book's about to come out. Yeah. That's why this is coming out. This is what they, you know, they say their sources somewhere told them. I have no idea if it's true. I'm just saying that I can understand a way that it would be true when we're missing a part of that story. They could have turned around and really hammered the team worse than they already did.
Maybe his genuineness did shine through, like Schefter said. An A-plus 10 kind of guy, you know, in front of the judge. And maybe he did the same thing with Goodell, but it was really the owners that wanted to stick it to Brady. You think any of these other teams, he'd sit his ass down. Don't give him an out.
But they were looking for a way to pin it on the organization,
then
and not
there,
the player.
Then there was something deeper.
The player wouldn't help them do it.
So Brady went to bat for the Patriots then.
And so what was their leverage against Brady? Brady, we're going to suspend you for a month. We're going to give you four games. Give it up. Come on.
Wow.
Give us what we want.
Wow.
And he wouldn't do it. And so they went through. They went through with their threat of four games. That's how I think it's all believable. And why the report is not as ridiculous on the surface. Because you read it and you're like, why would he offer that?
Zach.
What's the point of that? Why does he care about the two staffers? Because if you can get a star quarterback to say it was two guys that worked for the team and admit the guilt and admit fault, well, then they're going to really go after the Patriots, which was the target of all those other owners that were, you know, in the ear of the league office. That's how I think that's believable. Make sense?
Yeah.
There you go.
Better bring another quarterback in.
Why?
Because one's out there looking for his head that's rolling on the other field.
Who is that, Etling or
Etling? Good God. Somebody missed the backside pickup.
Did you get hit?
No, I mean, guy ran right by
him.
They can't hit him. They run right by him.
617-779-0985. Red Sox last night, this report that Goodell was offering Brady a deal and he wouldn't take it.
Do you believe it?
Do you believe it? Do you find it believable? Do you think it's plausible? I do.
Does it make you look differently about Goodell? Regarding Goodell? Kind of does for me. Because I thought it's just, I'm closing my, put my horse blinders on. I'm just going to work for the owners. I'm going to do whatever they tell me to do. And maybe this guy actually tried to broker a deal to get the best quarterback in the league back on the field.
And everything from the week here on Zolak and Bertrand. We'll get to your calls. We're in Foxborough. More of this next.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand are Zolak and Bertrand. Overlooking the practice field. Training camp coverage is sponsored by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Comebacker, Bradley caught. Now he's racing home to throw the tag. He's safe. He got in there. He scored. Back to first base, Benintendi. How did he get in there?
How in the world did Jackie Bradley end up safe on this play?
Wow. That is so athletic, that play right there. I mean, that is... Jackie's done this before, play at the plate. You see this, the third baseman, Andujar, doesn't get rid of it right away. Bad angle, kind of just, you know, and he went to the outside part of the plate.
Yeah, he's trying to throw around Jackie. He goes up the first base side, and Jackie gets around with the hand on the on home plate.
He's a dead duck right here.
Well, he's out by 7 feet.
Highway robbery to score that run.
That play last night. that, Jackie Bradley Jr. Almost tied up between third and home, and he scored. Somehow he scored. He takes off towards home. He stops. He takes a step back towards third, and then he scores. I mean, there are very few guys that are athletic as Jackie Bradley Jr. that are going to be able to make that base running play to score at home. Infield was playing back, and it looked like it was going to be a grounder, but pitcher comes up with it on the mound. That's when he froze. That's when he froze, when he realized the ball wasn't going to get through. It was hard hit.
Comes the rain.
And he turned back towards third, and then he goes home. Impressive play by Jackie Bradley Jr. So, okay, let's hear from all the Jackie Bradley Jr. people. How good he is, how great he is. It's really not worth arguing about, Zoe, anymore.
It's not. It is what it is.
Everyone's entrenched. You're either for or against.
Right. It's like having James Devlin.
I don't think James Devlin is nearly as controversial.
No, not controversial, but you're like, what do you have him? But you know, we need him. We need him. They think they need James Devlin.
It has started
Most teams don't have four. Yeah, it's great.
It doesn't feel like a lot.
Hey, but did you hear the... Wait, that's that Felger and Mass music.
Eminence Front.
Right?
Yeah, Who?
When do they play that?
The end of the show.
Do they?
Yep.
Huh.
It's only been going on for 9 years.
Well, I mean...
I
thought you had the final word now.
This plays at the end of
Okay. Yeah. Well, sometimes it bleeds over because they go long. That's all. I don't recall hearing it lately.
I'll tell you why. I know the answer. It's because you're watching on TV.
Right.
And they always run long.
Gotcha.
They go over the top of the hour.
I always catch them on TV.
Welcome back.
Don't forget, tap that app. Use the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. And if you get your smart speaker, say, hey, Alexa, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You think Mike Reese knows this song right off the bat? Because I know he's big into the rap game. That's his wheelhouse.
This isn't rap music.
I know. That's why I'm saying. He's quick to know the rap songs.
No, you know what he does?
That was an amazing pick. Give me a number on that, later. For later. Wow. Let's go to the phones. Dylan's in Boston on Malcolm Butler. We'll take it today. It's Friday. What do you got, Dylan?
Zoe and Beetle. What's going on?
What's up,
Dylan?
What's
up, man?
Yeah, I got some bad news. First off, I'm from LBC, and you heard me on the news recently because we bought that violin for $50 and it was worth $250,000. Did you hear about that?
I did see that story. Were you in? You were part of that?
Trending all over the place, CNN. Hey, listen, I got some information on Butler and Belichick situation, the benching in the Super Bowl. Hear me out. Yeah. One of my top guys said that he saw a doctor that was a team doctor for the Patriots on Mill Street in Arlington. You guys, and he said that Belichick's son and him, I don't know if you heard it already, call me wrong, got into an altercation. Butler missed his curfew, and then Belichick went out to find him, the son, and I guess they got into some sort of physical altercation. And then that's why, don't mess with Belichick's family. That's what he said, and told me not to tell anybody.
Dylan.
He didn't miss any curfews.
Dylan. That call has been made to this station no less than, I'm going to put the number at 1,400. Does that sound about right?
I've never heard that theory. I would have liked to have heard the rest of it.
I didn't either. You mean something happened
between
the coach's son and the player?
What?
And there may have been a missed curfew week?
What?
Who's answering phones today?
Austin Colley, whatever his name is.
Colin.
Cavs Cronin.
Ask Colin if that guy told him that theory before he put him on hold.
He said he's shaking his head no.
You know that he did.
What?
T-Bone says, of course, he told him the whole thing.
How does he not get kicked out of UMass yet?
Colin put him through anyway.
I just want from now on.
Oh, my God, I can't hear anything.
If someone calls with a Butler theory, that we vet it before they go on. Because we can't.
I want another theory. Someone call the station.
No, I'm not looking for theories.
Nah, let's do theories.
I'm not
today.
Looking for theories.
Maybe he threw his TV out his window on the 17th floor.
We can't do that anymore. We can't.
That's one hell of a practice set list going on down there, boys.
It's cranking. I can't hear anything.
Eminence Front and To Join Together. What's next? Yeah. Won't Get Fooled Again? Bob O'Reilly? What do we got?
I don't know. It's like the Who's Greatest Hits today at practice.
So bad.
Awesome.
So bad.
It is Tom Brady's birthday. Does Brady get to pick the music today? Think he's a big Who guy?
Oh, God, they're turning up.
Yeah, they're cranking it.
All All right, coming up on the baseball reporters, what do you got, Maz?
Well, 15 runs is a lot, but it's not going to be enough. They're going to get smoked.
There is a way that the Yankees could have tripled their output, which would have scored 21. And we'll tell you how we're going to do that next on the baseball reporters.
Mari,
going to need you tonight.
All right, I'll be here for another hour. I'm sitting in the chair.
Did Murray add his little spoke to his asterisk?
I don't know what he did.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's on vacation. Yeah, we can't do those theories anymore on Butler because we've heard them all.
I didn't hear that one. Yes, missed curfew.
Yes, you have. Stop it. So, because the next jackass that wants to call us hears you say that and then say, "Oh, I did hear that one. I'm going to let him know I heard it too."
I heard he was sick.
And then they're going to call and give you another stupid theory
that
we've already heard.
Wait a minute. Isn't his son one of the secondary coaches? And he got into it with Malcolm Butler?
That one, by the way, literally came out of thin air of people piecing it together in the days after. Like, oh, his son's out. He must have gotten into a fight with his kid. I think it started on this show with a caller. I think it may have been like Paulie and Dedham who suggested that. Somebody did.
I remember Jimmy Stewart being an early, not a proponent, but just, you know, like discussing that theory. And yes, someone very early on this show said it too. So,
yes. It wasn't said as like an informed. It was, hey, like here's a possibility. Maybe he got into it with his coach, who also happens to be the son of the head coach. Maybe there was an argument.
Right.
And then it turned into, of course, it was a fist fight. And it happened in the team hotel. And it's just like people just fill in the blanks as they go. They fill in what they don't know. Vicious rumor. Brendan's in the car. Brendan.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Brendan.
Two quick Patriots things here on the GOAT's birthday. So, is it just me, or do we do this every year with the receivers group? Like, they bring in the veterans, guys don't make it through camp, they bring in new guys. Is it just me, or is that a yearly thing?
Like, to what other years?
You're saying there's been too many years you're worried about the receivers.
Do make a point. Like, the Joey Galloways.
Galloway, that's a perfect name.
Yeah,
remember what's his name, too, that used to play on the Colts? They had Anthony Gonzalez.
Reggie Wayne. Austin Collie. Good points. Good call.
Every year this happens, I feel like. It's always the offensive concern. It's always the receiver group. Who's going to be the guy behind Gronk and Edelman?
Well,
and now, next.
There's two things. There's two things that are your strength. The quarterback and the offensive line when it's coached by Scarnecchia. So I think the thought is, as we build a team, and you look at a team from a team-building concept, there's areas where we're going to have to go out and save money and try and find some good value. All right? Because you're paying Hightower. You're going to pay the tight end. So the receiver position may take a little bit of a kickback. Pretty good deal for Edelman for what he's worth. That's a hell of a return on average. You're trying to save some money at that position. And bring in guys that may not have worked elsewhere that are looking for a second chance. And sort of that make or break year form. Yeah. There's sort of a trend there to that. I'll give you that.
617-779-0985. Tom Brady does turn 41 today. What does it mean? Does it mean anything? Let's talk about that coming up after these headlines with Hardy. Don't go anywhere.
98.5thesportshub.com is your connection to the world of Boston sports. Wherever you go. 98.5thesportshub.com. Sports Hub headlines.
Game two of the four-game set between the Sox and Yankees happens tonight at Fenway Park. Luis Severino, 14-4 on the year with a 2.94 ERA. Gillipol's Rick Porcello has got a 4.03 earned run average and a 13-4 record. Sox took game one in impressive fashion last night, 15-7, thanks in large part to an 8-run fourth inning.
Relentless. That was probably our best offensive inning of the season. We have some good.
Okay, he's speechless. Once again, they will play game two of four tonight. Alex Corey, what am I going to say? What do you want me to say about an 8-run fourth inning?
Relentless.
I agree. Patriots continue training camp today. Zolak and Bertrand are there live. More with them coming up. And at the WGC Bridgestone Invitational, Ian Poulter with the 8-under par, 62 in the first round yesterday. Good enough for the top spot on the leaderboard as round two is underway. Ricky Fowler and Kyle Stanley are both one stroke off the lead. Headlines are brought to you by South Shore Bank Student Checking. Make adulting fun with no monthly fee or minimum balance for ages 16 to 24. Details at southshorebank.com/student. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
So and the Beatles. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Training camp, sponsored by AdCare, 1-800-ALCOHOL. It's Solak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
White the single back with Brady up under center. He takes the snap. He play fakes to White. He looks down the middle. He fires and the ball is caught in the back of the end zone by Danny.
It's a catch.
Amendola! Touchdown! Patriots!
It's a catch.
He made the grab just inside the end line. And New England is taking the lead.
I love Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, 41 years old today. Out there on the practice field, doing his thing. Big cake here today for Brady.
Big cake.
Big cake. Cake.
See the size of that thing?
Yes. Hope he likes cake.
Put it in a tent.
Massive 12 cake.
Feeds 5,000 people.
Yeah. Just like the rally cake. Just like the before the Super Bowl. Another big cake. Remember the cake that was at the rally?
What rally?
But the Super Bowl rally. The thing with you and Jellifus there. Remember there was a giant cake there that day?
I don't remember that.
Don't you remember that? You
guys, I was up on stage.
Same deal. They're into the giant cakes down here now. So they got a Brady cake here today.
She said vagina cake.
I said giant cake.
Jeez.
I did not say what you just said.
Wow.
Is it too late to add a promo? Is it too late to add a promo for the day?
Run back on it, Jim.
Big,
Tony,
big birthday.
big birthday cake.
Big cake.
Big cake.
No, the thing you're talking about is the other state. We don't do that.
Stop it.
We don't have those.
Or you have to be here.
They got a card. You can sign a giant birthday card for him today.
What's he going to do with it? Take it home?
I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do with it.
Put it on his counter?
So he's 41 today.
It's also my daughter's birthday today, too.
Is it?
Yeah.
Which one?
Sam. Samantha.
Oh, happy birthday, Sam.
Yeah, 14.
Did you know, Zoe, there are only 7 quarterbacks, and Brady will now be the 8th, to play quarterback in the NFL at the age 41 or older. So he's in a rare class already. Do you know who those guys are?
I think 2 of them I do know.
Okay.
Vinny Testaverde and Brett Favre.
That, correct. One of them cried on TV during the
game. Oh, God. What a bitch. Brunel.
Brunel.
God, he played in his 40s, huh?
Yep. One of them is a local guy.
Oh, Flutie.
Flutie.
Yeah. I know Doug, so I know 3 of them.
One of them... One of them played in Houston for a while.
Oh, Warren Moon.
There you go.
Yep. It's actually pretty easy to name these guys when you actually start thinking about it. Was there like Steve DeBerg? Did he do that?
Yes, he did.
Yep. Let me see. Well, Steve DeBerg. Plunkett didn't do it.
You keep thinking about
Dan
that.
Dan Fouts.
You might be able to come up with it.
Marino retired early.
Yep. Similar place of playing football, though.
Miami.
The Dolphins.
Bob Greasy.
Nope.
Strzok. Strzok.
70s Dolphins.
70s. Bob Greasy. No.
Nope.
70s.
Nope. I don't know if this was... I'll tell you who he was with at the time.
Sorry.
He was with Miami at the end.
Wow.
Yeah. Maybe a caller comes up with it. Trivia. Friday trivia.
I give you a prize.
Okay? Friday trivia here on Zolak and Bertrand. The most anyone has ever thrown for at 41 or older.
Favre.
You sure about that?
Probably Moon. It's probably Moon.
Let me take a look here. You want yards? It was Moon.
Yeah.
3,678 yards.
That's
for
a lot.
Warren Moon. Threw for
was that with the Vikings?
3,700 yards. He has the best season at age 41 or older, and it was when he was 41. He was with Seattle at the time. 1997 with Seattle, threw for nearly 3,700 yards. He threw 25 touchdowns. That's the most of anyone 41 or older.
Wow.
He threw 16 picks.
So it can be done.
He had a quarterback rating of 83.7. Mm. And on top of that, there's only three guys that have played a full season as a starter at this age. Testaverde was the full-time starter for Dallas in 2004. He started 15 games. Warren Moon in 97 in Seattle started 14 games. Brett Favre in Minnesota at age 41 started 13 games. And then Warren Moon again at age 42 started 10 games for Seattle and was not nearly as good. That's it. There's limited data on what quarterbacks do at the age 41 or older. That's it. Four seasons total, three different guys who have started and been the starter for a team after this age. So he's really only the fourth guy to be in this spot. That worry you at all?
No.
Do we assume he's going to smash these records?
Probably. Yeah, based on how the offense usually goes and how they have to end up carrying a football team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, do you understand why Bill Belichick just doesn't believe in this age?
Yeah.
When you just go and say, all right, has anyone ever done this before? And there's very little track record of it being done.
There's only.
Can you understand why a guy who's been in the game that long is like, I just don't buy into this?
Even going back to the days I played, there was one position that extended or tried to play as long as they could, and they figured out a way to do it, and it was the kickers. Guys like Morton Anderson, Matt Barr.
Right.
You know, shoot, go through it. Look at a guy like Janikowski. Adam Vinatieri. We talked to Gostkowski. Said his 13th year here. That's crazy.
But he's a kicker.
He's a kicker, but that's the only position. Going back to even the days when I played, that you said, okay, it's not an abnormal thing for a guy to play that late in his career. Normally you're thinking 33, 34, 35, somewhere in there. That's when you retire.
Right.
That's a sweet spot for retirement.
And as far as, you know, the after age 41, when you get into 42 plus,
yeah,
those numbers get downright depressing. There's not much there.
Right.
There's very little track record. There's no data. There's nobody who's done it. So he's in his own department now after this season. This season, he'll probably have the best season at age 41 ever. And then after that, who knows? It won't be hard to break the records because there's not much there. But it is his birthday today, and he's now officially 41 years old. 617-779-0985. Frank is in Salem. Hey, Frank.
Hi, hi guys. How you doing?
Hi. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to wish Tom a happy birthday. And
I'll pass it on.
So I saw a report on ESPN yesterday that said the NFL offered a deal that would vacate Tom's...
Yeah, I'm going to let you go, Frank.
Okay.
Phone is a bit of a problem there. Yeah, that deal has been reported in this new book. We let off the show talking about it today. And I think it's plausible. I think it's believable that that was a deal. But I think there's a missing part of the story, and that missing part is, had he taken the deal, had he thrown the two equipment staffers under the bus, what then happens to the team?
Right.
What would the team have then faced as an additional penalty to what they had already accepted?
Because you're already on that watch list.
Or if that offer had been made early, how would that penalty have changed? I think that's the relevant question. Because that would have allowed the league to say, look, your star quarterback admits and tells us that people that work for your team did this. So therefore, your team, as an institution, will be penalized. As an organization, will be penalized heavily, as opposed to the player being hit hard.
And I think also, too, that's a big reason Bill Belichick took it off himself and the so-called put it on Brady's lap. Yeah, go ask the quarterback. He's the one who handles the balls.
The $1 million
because
fine, though.
Bill's already on that watch list.
I don't get why Brady would have to pay the $1 million fine.
That doesn't make any sense.
That part doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Hey, we'll let you play, but you have to pay money.
But because if you're allowing him to put it on McNally and Jastrzemski, right, and throw them under the bus, and also this book says he would have been allowed to say he had no knowledge, well, then why does he have to pay a $1 million fine?
Yeah, because it's like you're admitting you're guilty without being guilty. And it's there in writing. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't add up, Beetle. It really doesn't.
Maybe because they're saying,
cut money
deals with guys. They acted based on your your
influence,
distaste
your influence
for the overinflated balls, like the Jets game, right? There's still some evidence that Brady didn't want the footballs to be blown up like balloons, as they said. Did you get him right? Did you get him right? Jack is in New Hampshire. Jack, what do you got?
Hey, good morning, guys. Can you hear me okay?
We got you, Jack.
Hey.
All right. Yeah, that excerpt from the book there just verifies what a weasel the commissioner is. Anyway, I want to take a shot at that 40-year-old quarterback. Is it Earl Morrill?
Yes, it from is.
Miami?
Yes, it
Atta
is.
Boy.
Nice job.
And there's one other receiver that got released by the Bears I think they should take a look at, Dontrell Inman. Pretty productive guy.
Yep. What do you know about him, Zoe?
Yeah.
Thanks, Jack.
Good job. Productive guy. Been around the league a little bit. Inman. I-N-M-A-N. Sort of like a Macklin type. I'd probably rather have Macklin. I don't know. When's Decker getting here? I don't even think he signed yet.
It's not been announced.
He has not signed yet.
617-779-0985. More of your calls coming up on the Patriots and the big Red Sox win last night. That's next.
Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub. On your radio and streaming on your phone with the 98.5, the Sports Hub app. Zolak and Bertrand at training camp. Sponsored by EdCare, 1-800-ALCOHOL.
Tom Brady 41 today. Taking your calls on that. On the Patriots camp. Big crowd here again today. I haven't heard any happy birthday for Tom Brady yet. When does that happen, Zo? Who orchestrates that?
I don't think it happens.
No?
They did that last year. They had the goats out. Little things.
We're also going to get to that new helmet rule in the Hall of Fame game last night.
Oh, nice ball.
Got anything else you want to add there?
No.
Who was that caught
route.
It? Who caught it?
Route.
Who caught it?
Dwayne Allen.
I know. Isn't that surprising?
That? Nice little fade route.
Catching a pass.
Who's that he beat?
Mike is in Plymouth.
Jordan Richards.
Mike, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Landon Roberts.
Hi.
So I was talking to someone about Brady the other day, and I'm just thinking, obviously, yeah, he's 41. We're all very, like, excited he's back, whatever. How much, like, you're saying the record's after 41, it's all him alone. Do you really, like, surpass all these things? Like, I'm not, like, thinking negatively, but I'm thinking realistically. You never know when something's going to happen, or, like, how much do you think he has left at going on now 41? I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Hold on, Mike. If the question is how much does he have left, period, how long can he keep playing? He could keep playing another 5 years. The real question to me is, how much does he have left at his current level, at the level he played last year? That's sort of my question. I don't know the answer. I don't think anybody really knows the answer. I mean, I'd like to think it's, you know, at least two more years of that, of playing at a high level. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm done guessing, to be honest with you.
Brady didn't even tape his shoes today. Yeah, he's got the day off. So I think that's his birthday present. But
what do you mean? He just threw a pass to Dwayne Allen.
No, that was Hoyer.
Oh, that wasn't? Wow.
No, Brady hasn't thrown
that. Oh, really?
Brady has not thrown.
Oh, Hoyer coming along, huh?
Yeah.
How many years has Hoyer been in the NFL?
Shut up. Yeah,
watch,
Brady.
Watch, you're going to have to interview him today.
He's got basically nothing.
You asked for Hoyer today. I know you did.
I want to talk to Hoyer.
I know you talked to him. He's your boy.
Yeah, to the caller's point, we've been asking that question for 4 years now. How much does he have left?
I don't know. What do I think? If I'm making a guess, yeah, he's going to break those records for ages 41 and 42. That's my prediction.
And I think the only
might
way,
be totally wrong. I don't know.
I think the only way this thing ends is with a real, real bad injury.
That could happen for anybody.
But I'm talking like Peyton Manning.
But doesn't that happen like
nerve damage?
All right, but that doesn't happen at 41 where you're like, oh, an injury could end it. Isn't that like after age 35 an injury could end it?
Yeah.
He's already been in that zone for years.
Sure.
That's like not new territory for him. He's been in that department. Jared's in Westwood. Hey, Jared.
What's going on, guys? Nice to see you on TV these days.
Thanks.
So listen, I'm going to just assume Brady's going to continue to be performing at this level. What I'm worried about is the linebacking core. That Jacksonville game, AFC game, those passes out of the backfield, we didn't have linebackers within 10 yards of them. If our hopes are really going to be resting on Flowers and Van Noy and Roberts to stop tight ends and linebacks and running backs out of the backfield, I don't feel real great about the chances this year. What are you guys seeing with the linebackers?
You want me to make your Friday, Jared?
Yes, please.
That group has looked like one of the better groups on the field this camp.
They're winning.
Much improved.
Yeah. Roberts, Van Noy, Flowers, that's who we're going to be resting our hopes on because they're improving.
Well, I can tell you this. I don't know about Landon Roberts. I'm not ready to go there yet on a Landon Roberts, but Kyle Van Noy has had himself a camp. Looks good. He looks the best in this camp that he's ever looked, if you ask me. So.
Looks like he knows what he's doing.
Yes.
And I think the best point I can make is, you know, I remember seeing Ninkovich early when he got here and he was sort of out of position and guy looked slow, didn't look like he'd be good in space, and then something clicked with him, whether it was the spacing, whether it was you figure out what spot to put him in, and then he got better and better. That's kind of the way it's trending with Van Noy. Van Noy looks comfortable, looks like he knows where to go. There's complete route recognition, you know, formation recognition. Seems like he's getting to make a lot of calls, too, which is good for him. Looks like Stephon Gilmore sort of has a day off today, too. You know what this tells me?
Veterans Day off.
This tells me, folks, if you're thinking about coming down to training camp and you ask, well, which practices are better than that?
Yeah.
I'd roll the dice on coming down tomorrow. Tomorrow's shaping up to be that split scrimmage day. You know, the one where Chad O'Shea and Brian Flores are going to call the plays for each team, or Josh McDaniels. And they'll break the team up because I think they got a scrimmage. They got hit a little bit. They'll get Sunday off. Monday, Tuesday practice, gear back Wednesday, get ready for the game on Thursday.
Okay.
So tomorrow looks like it's going to be a scrimmage.
Robert is in California today. He's calling about that rumored or reported deal that was offered by Roger Goodell to Tom Brady. Hey, Robert.
Hey, morning, boys. Deflategate, the gift that just keeps on giving.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm reading some excerpts from that book. I think it's called 12, The Inside Story of Tom Brady's Fight. So basically, they offered him, apparently what they're claiming is they offered him a zero-game suspension, $1 million fine, and all he had to do was throw one or both of the ball boys under the bus. And I guess he refused to do it.
The inside
Tom
story to Tom
Brady. What's your thought?
On the
what's your
suspension?
Thought on it?
Who's
what do you think about
this?
It, Robert?
Well, it gains me a lot more respect for my bromance with number 12. You know, because you got to imagine how much money he lost on that deal, and you know. People that he's probably not going to have any more relationship with, and he decided. Yeah, it just for me, I gave more respect for the guy.
He lost a million anyway. That's another thing.
Yeah,
$250 a game. Remember, they reworked his contract because they were creative enough to okay, if he gets suspended, he'll miss a million the first month. $250 a game. Kind of funny how it comes out to a million. If this is the inside story, to Tom Brady during Deflategate, it'd be nice if it was told by Tom Brady or.
They're never going to tell the story.
Or the NFLPA people.
Who knows? It may have been told by those guys. We
or
have
the
no
lawyers.
Idea. Yeah. No idea. None. I don't know. I just think it's plausible because then they could have turned around and really hammered the team more than they did. I mean, not like they didn't do that already, but it could have been worse.
Right.
Could have been worse.
Still here sitting here talking about
it. If they had the quarterback on record saying, yep, those two guys did it. Because as of right now, the denial is still fully in place by everybody involved.
What would be wrong with that?
Nope, we didn't do it. No, we never did it. No, that's all they've ever said.
Guys, we work these balls. We have them perfect. And then all of a sudden, these idiots come in and they overinflate them. And they're like balloon balls. Just get them back to what we had without giving even them a damn number.
And this is
why. You know how Brady likes it. How much of a cheating fine is that? That's like a nothing.
Goodell wanted it because he would have had an admission on the record
right.
from a star player
and he didn't
saying it happened.
Wouldn't give it to him.
And then those owners could really have gone after the Patriots if they had an admission. It would have been easy for them. Would have been easy for them to do. But he wouldn't give it to them. Would have been really bad. Instead, he served the four games. Let's go to headlines.
Okay.
We come back from those headlines. We're going to talk about last night's Hall of Fame game. There were two calls in the game with the new rule for having the helmet down and leading with the helmet. We're going to talk about how that was officiated. Did you like it? Did you not like it? We'll get to that in 90 seconds.
pound their tires on the house. WBZFM and HD Boston. This is the home of the New England Patriots. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Leslie Media Brief Station.